Dear future wife, the temperature when I woke up at 7 in the morning here in the capital was -1 degree actually, because it's just, well, minus. Now, I have a message for you though. Wherever you find yourself, you better be freezing the same way that I am freezing alone right now. Because if I just find out, I don't care if we get married, you know, 40 years, 50 years. If I find out that on the 10th of June, 2025, you know, I was seeing this other guy, which, you know, it was freezing cold. Now divorce, we go get. Like we are not negotiating. We are just going straight to the judge, Your Honor. She cheated on me on the 10th of June, 2025. When did you say you met her again? On the 2nd of February, 2027. But she cheated on you in 2025. Yes, my lord. Can you believe this woman? So, at this point, my lord is like, can we have some police over here? You know, and, someone call the mental institution because, well, someone here have gone mental. Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helms on Eagle FM. And it's a comedy show. I'm just here to make fun of people and, make fun of people, historical events, mostly historical events because I don't have bodyguards. I do make fun of people from time to time. And today we have quite a few of them on the menu, actually. We have, loan sharks. We have, global copper supply. Boring. I mean, yesterday we were talking about, at least to some degree, diamonds, blah, blah, blah. And you have government commits. Blood reserves critically low. Oh, yeah, people, go donate blood. Go donate. As for me, leave me alone. Namibia to roll out electronic IDs faster in your seatbelt. More tracking device coming up. Come on, just don't run away from them. But I'll still make fun of them, though. I mean, if it's, before you start saying, electronic IDs, it will be used to track me down. You already have a passport. They can already do that. And so they can do that with your smartphone, smartwatch, smart TV. At this point, give an electronic ID a shot. Like it's, the government, if they wanted to track you down, they could, there are basically a million ways they can do that. And not the Namibian government, obviously. They can even barely track down some genocidal maniac somewhere in Uganda. Namibia to roll out electronic IDs. Those are some of the things we have on the menu. And but before we get, before we go. To what we have on the menu, I would like to point out something that because I don't go out a lot, and especially in winter, I'm just gaming under the blanket at this point, which is kind of difficult to do because I'm using this thing to game. And because I'm using it, gaming with a phone is exhausting. But for some reason, a phone is very nice to watch series on. Because you can just roll around on your bed, a laptop on the other hand. Now, what happens when you turn this other side? Now you have to leave the whole thing. And if the battery is low, you have to move the entire socket. Well, the landlord is going to kill you. But a smartphone, when it comes to series, it's the best. Gaming, on the other hand, tablet comes in handy. Because you can, see the enemies and snipe their behinds from very far. But anyway, Because I spent a lot of time over the internet, basically scrolling through a lot of things taking place the world over, I have a few things, on the menu today. One, the Prime Minister of Mongolia has resigned 7 days ago. Now you're wondering, why are we talking about a country a lot of us have never heard of? By the way, it was at some point a superpower, when the Mongol Empire was, when the Mongols were still, the big guys on the block. Well, it turns out, empires rise and fall. Empires rise and fall. It's not something that's new. It turns out the Mongol Empire was huge. Right now, a lot of people have never even heard of Mongolia. It was yesterday when I was, when I was talking about something I discovered about that, about that buffer zone between China and Russia, aka Mongolia. It's smaller than it was when Genghis Khan, or if you prefer the Western pronunciation, Genghis Khan, was basically running the show in that part of the world. And bro was good at conquering militarily and conquering in the bedroom, because he said to have fathered a lot of children, like a lot. But anyway, yesterday I was, I covered a little bit of some of the interesting culture, or more like it's especially culinary wise, that I discovered during the weekend. And that is, it turns out, one of the biggest source of meat in that part of the world is horse. And also one of the biggest source of milk in that part of the world is horse. So you are looking at horse steak, horse bologna, horse bourrevors. Although there is no bourrevors that side, it will be, horse, Mongolia vors. And, it turns out they even milk horses. And if for those of you that were listening, you heard me say something like, if I ever find myself in Mongolia and I decide to marry one of their women and I bring her here, I will tell her, my love, well, here's the thing. The horses we have here, if you try to touch it at places that you have been, touching your horses when you are milking them, my God, you're going to run out of teeth. So these ones here, we just, use them for transport. Milk, we have cattle for that. We even have a whole dairy dedicated company that just sells us dairy. But then I started thinking, why is that weird though? Why is that weird? Then I came to realize that, look, it's only weird to me because I was not raised from that. I was not born and raised in that part of the world. Because come on, say that, a horse? How the heck do you mean? That one kick is going to send you to your ancestors, like, just like that. But it turns out in Mongolia, they can milk them. Now, one thing that I also discovered was about the Japanese. Well, it turns out, about 200 years ago, the Japanese used to host contests of who blows the exit air the most. Now, if you don't understand what I mean by the exit air, I can give you a practical example that, you can do on your own. First make sure you have your own room. I'm talking about bedroom. Don't worry, we're not talking about suspiciously long shower. That's a whole different discussion. Albeit, I can give you a few pointers in that department. But, what I want you to do, at least today, if you want to find out, the type of sports that the Japanese were doing back 200 years ago, was, they were basically competing on who, farts the longest. Yeah, I just decided to sort of like, pause that sink, more like sinking. And I was like, look, I have read a lot of stories of more like very weird contests. They were contesting on it turns out they had they had entire theaters filled in the very same way that you are seeing, more like soccer fields filled today, albeit different in size because this is about 200 years ago. And people were like, last year that guy farted the longest, and I wonder who is going to win this time. Who is going to win? Who do you think is going to win? You can imagine people were betting on this one. According to previous records, that guy can keep it going. See, it's boxing that actually led me down that rabbit hole, because I was just trying to figure out, because of the whole, Nakadela situation there by the US during the weekend. So that got me thinking, just how did we just sit and come up with some of these things as a form of entertainment? Like, at which point, like, seriously, at which point did we just say, you know what? We are really bored. So let's see if we can come up with some type of activities that will kill the boredom. And someone was like, how about we just get those two guys and then talk them into punching each other's daylight out as entertainment? And everyone was like, actually, that's a brilliant idea. Now, at this point, I'm going, okay, seriously. It's a good thing we have smartphone, guys, because our ancestors were super bored and so they decided to go very violent. Like seriously, I don't understand how boxing is a sport. But it turns out it's a sport that is, you know, revered and also, you know, more like, there are a lot of people that are interested in that sport, including my personal hero, Get Leach. Well, the first performance didn't go very well. The second one showed some improvement. Even Bulelo was like, hey, what happened, you know, during the second boxing match between Bulelo and Get Leach? It's like one of those things that, you don't know whether you are, you know, whether to be shocked or scared, you know. Let me give you a relationship example. You know, one of those long holidays, like December holidays, you know, you are from the south, so you go to the south, and your girlfriend or boyfriend is from the north. Then you go to the south, and then they go to the north. You know, village time. That's what we do as Africans. And then when you come back in January, your hubby or your girlfriend has some new moves. So like, hey, should I be happy that she has new moves, or should I try to find out just where the heck is she getting this? But no. Obviously, your approach is going to be, what's the end goal? If your end goal is an argument, please try to find out, where did you learn that? Sweetheart. And obviously, he can't sit you down and tell you, hey, while I was on holiday, my love, there was this neighbor. Hi, that neighbor. Problema grande. He ain't no way he's gonna tell you that, because first of all, he's not dumb. Two, he knows you're gonna kill him if he tells you that. So he'll be like, no, I just, you know, was just bored and missing you, and you know, I decided to look up something online, and definitely not talking from experience. Now, all these things, all these things basically shocks the heck out of me. Like, how did we just come up with these things as a form of entertainment? Now, let me share you with some one of that, the oldest Japanese form of competition. Now, the first thing they did, one of the things that they did to basically prepare themselves for these competitions was they ate a lot of types of food that will basically cause some type of bloating, obviously, to give them the maximum length of, air ejection out of their rear end. It's a good, look, we have to be politically correct. But anyway, art of flatulence. That's a private school way of saying they were releasing gas from their behinds. Now, for those of us that went to public school, I just had to make it clear. How 200 years ago, Japanese, there's a term for it, a whole Japanese term for it. Painting really do have a deep meaning to it. It turns out, for those of you that have, that have visited Japan and decided to look at some of their cultural, artistic works. I mean, if you're in Japan with your son-in-law and you decided to spoil your son-in-law with a Kamboroto or two, I mean, your father-in-law, I mean, yeah, every straight guy's father-in-law. Dream father-in-law. Every straight guy's dream father-in-law. I mean, father-in-laws, it's not rocket science. Just from time to time, just take your son-in-law out. Spoil him out. Just don't, spoil him using, Kamborotos. Don't spoil him yourself, because that's just, Now, anyway, most people, it says that, most people would look at the Japanese art depicting various men and women engaged in a flatulent combat as a 200 years old toilet humor. Now, but the artwork known as is it a Hegasen, which literally turns out translates to fat battle, is in fact a pointed comment on political and social change in Japan. Social change in Japan. Now, made by an unknown artist or artists, the scroll depicts a number of different scenes in all linked by the fact that at least one character is directing a debilitating blast of flutulency, aka rear-end gas ejection, towards another character. Now, to prepare for this, now let's just say the reason why I'm bringing this up is I don't think as Namibians we are thinking outside the box when it comes to figuring out ways of making money. Take for example, there are a lot of reasons why I like Japan. I like Japan. Minus the M23, not M23. What's this? This General Shiro murderous empire that the guy was running. But anyway, the katana, who doesn't like the katana? I mean, it's a, the katana, noble of all swords, like, Master Splinter says in Ninja Turtles. But, that's one. The second thing is, they also have, in Japan, it has been alleged by those that have visited the place that they have, you can actually rent a date. Let me explain. There are people that provide services where you can just go there and rent a date. Not sex work or aka Red District. Something that I'm told the Netherlands is known for. Actually you can just go out there and pay someone to go out on a date with you and be your girlfriend for a couple of hours. Obviously, the more amount of money you pay, the longer, the longer the you want the date to last, the more the amount of money you're gonna have to pay. At this point, I'm asking myself one question. Ladies, you're not thinking outside the box on this one. Like, really, you should really be, And by the way, this is just a date where you can take a walk in the park or just go on a movie, or you can not Netflix and chill. Don't go to his house because believe me, that date is going to go south really fast. Netflix and chill, movie minus Netflix and chill. Like movie, if you are going to choose movie, go to the movie theater. Although movie theaters are known to be a little. Actually, they're dark. That's why I like them. I don't have to look at anyone. Plus the giant screen. Just me and my popcorns. That's all. Now, and also they say, this is today, and these are the guys that seems to have been running the 200 years ago, ran a competition of getting fully grown men to eat a lot of beans and a lot of eggs, in preparation. It's sort of like training before the whole event where they just pop up and start, round one, we have this guy from this village, as you can imagine, and this guy from this village. Now, imagine a competition like that between, we have Anguena versus Kavango East. Now, who'll go first? Timer, have the time ready. 1, 2, 3. Kavango East, go. Three seconds. Oh, man, you're disqualified. Now, up next, Anguena. I don't want to be punched in the face by a bunch of guys from Anguena. Some of them are right here. That's just an example. Now, I think we should just come up with a competition like that. Now, the only Africans that are thinking outside the box when it comes to making money, or more like, making money, entertaining themselves, and basically boosting up people's morals, in the very same way that the Japanese are doing now, and they turns out they did 200 years ago, are Zimbabweans. Because they are the only, Zimbabwe is the only country that I at least know that have hosted Mr. ugly Zimbabwe. Now, these guys were just like, you know what? No one said modeling is only for beautiful people. They decided to gather around on a regional level. I think they started somewhere in 2009. And in 2015, they hosted a national competition to see who is going to win the prize for the ugliest guy in Zim. And there was a competition. Albeit a world that, you know, well, a lot of people actually, you know, a lot of supporters of the, you know, of Mr. Ugly and his runner-up, they were engaged in a debate over who should have been, you know, who was ugly enough to win Mr. Ugly. The social media storm was so big, the BBC wrote an article on it. Where a lot of people were like, you know, actually, a lot of people, those ones that were fans of the runner-up were like, no, they just ate for him. That's Tembukush for Hanam Diera. That means you have, you know, you have cheated him. Now, I know in Tembukush it make, when you participate in a competition and you get cheated, it's cheated, right? But anyway, and you get cheated. In Thimbukushu, we say Hanagudiera, which literally translates to they ate for you. But, the thing is, well, in English, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. No, I just lost because they ate for me. Every English guy will be like, huh? They ate for what now? Oh no, daddy, look, well, in Thimbukushu, that means, you got cheated out of the competition. Although we have another word for you, you know, hanakufikira, that's like the correct cheated in terms of competition, not in terms of relationship. Cheating in terms of competition and cheating in terms of relationship, we have two different words for that. Now, cheating in terms of a competition, ufwiki, anakufikira. Cheating in terms of, you know, cheating in terms of relationship. Hang on a second, what's the word for that? Huh. Can't believe I'm forgetting my own language. But if you just use, the sport one in relationship terms, every kavango will be like, you can't be serious. But, that's one thing I just like, I mean, that's just one thing I find fascinating about languages. But anyway. So, any one of you guys out there that is planning on starting, fat battle, please, go out there and think outside the box. Plus, we already have a lot of types of food that will help us in a sport like that. There's this type of food we call, just for a week before the competition like that. You are not eating anything but beans, and then you are eating only beans and boiled eggs and nyimu, what y'all call a fukwa, translate to a lot of your buddies that don't understand any of the language. Now, I'm telling you, that competition is gonna be lit because we have the food. And also, like, what type of food would you also throw in there? Don't put in spicy and kapana because that competition is going to go liquid really fast, because this competition is just about, well, gas, not liquid. Oh dear Lord, I hope you are not listening to this show having a breakfast because, So, just a gloss through, because I've been through this before. In 2015, Zimbabwe's Mr. Ugly contest winner, not, you know, too handsome. And, if you just look up, Zimbabwe's Mr. Ugly 2015, you're gonna get a picture of why the guy won. And his runner-up is also, is also there. And, by the way, both Mr. Ugly, Zimbabwe, and his run-up, they are both married. I love women. And, well, you can see, you know, that, you know, when Mr. Ugly won, I don't know whether that's his wife or his Kamboroto, this, you know, the BBC just went out, all out on this one. They decided to take a picture of him and, cute girl that was smiling, you know, next to Mr. Ugly's chest. Bro is missing, you know, 90% of the teeth from his upper jaw. I don't know what happened to them, but they're missing. Okay, now that just did not go well. And you see, and there's also, there's even another picture of Mr. Ugly, you know, like celebrating and, over the shoulders of his coach. Like, really? How do you coach someone to be ugly? All you just have to do is be born by, you know, a bunch of ugly couple and you're good. Now, this is why, it's been about, 14 to 17 years without us having the Rush Hour 4 movie. And a lot of us are looking forward to having a Rush Hour movie. But, anyone that have seen the Rush Hour movies 1 to 3 knows the reason, or at least one of the reasons why Rush Hour movie 4 is most likely not going to come out anytime soon. Because of all the political correctness. Rush Hour 1 and 3 is loaded with what a lot of people today would call political correctness. We're talking about weight-wise. There's another, there's a part where people are being called fat. There are people were called Asians, you know, black, and, was that one or two where Lee, a character of Jackie Chan, uses what they call the N-word now? That's today. Back then, it was entertainment. Now everyone is sensitive towards everything. Oh my God, I'm offended. And we wonder why high blood pressure is through the roof. It's because we take everything serious. Oh my God, I'm offended. And? He misgendered me. And? That's actually what I would say if I was a police officer. And? That's against the law. And also the law at this point is just spoiling people. I mean, type of nonsense that. But anyway, a lot of competition obviously broke out, brawl broke out on social media, where a lot of people were arguing that, no, Mr. Ugly, you know, Mr. Ugly, okay, the runner-up is more uglier than the guy that won. But one thing that was actually stated in this whole article was that their main goal was to actually make people comfortable in their own skin. In other words, we are not lying to you that you are handsome. We're going to be honest with you, buddy. You're ugly as heck. So now what we're going to do is we are going to hold a contest where we will gather all a bunch of ugly guys and then tell them, make them, you know, basically do a contest for us to figure out who is even more uglier and then give them a bunch of money. You see, that's how you raise children. Tell them the truth. Oh my God, your baby is really cute. Huh? Doesn't even have teeth. Oh, come on, serious, only cute, but that's very questionable. Now, But look, the only, you know, my only disappointment is, the 2015 one is the only one that was hosted. Zim, you guys are now disappointing me on this one. Because now, okay, like seriously, like, what happened to the sponsor? Or maybe they're just, sponsoring it and we are not hearing about it. Because, and also explain to me why I have to read this from BBC. This is how disconnected Africa is. Now I have to get news coming out of Zimbabwe from England. This is embarrassing. But to be fair, Mr. Ugly just decided, you know what, the organizer David Machoa told BBC Steve Vicker that models make money from their looks. So ugly people should have the, According to the organizer, when he was interviewed by BBC, the point he gave was that, look, models make money from their looks. Models, you know, the contestant, you know, the shaggy looking one, like some people I won't mention because, man, that girl is hot. And, now, that, you know, my problem with the hot chicks is that, you know, according to the, Vicky Mendoza diagonal that we have all, those of us that have watched How I Met Your Mother, learned from, you know, Barney Stinson, is that, beautiful girls are interesting in a way that, it's either the hotter she is, the more crazy she is, and the more crazier she is. Or, she has some big, beautiful, milky white eyes, but they can't see, so she needs glasses. So, no one really is perfect. I know several, believe me. You can just look at those beautiful, milky, white, black, snow white, you know, snow white eyes. And you're like, yeah, very beautiful eyes. And like, yep, there's just one problem. They can't see crap. Oh, ouch. Oh. So, now that we have, now, the reason why I pointed these two events out, both the, you know, fat battle and the Mr. Ugly thing, is because I feel like as Namibians, when it comes to entertainment, we are copying a lot, you know, we really want to look like the West a lot, to the point where we are not being creative, we are not thinking outside the box. So, we have, imagine if we were to host a competition like the fat battle the Japanese were hosting about 200 years ago, that venue better have a lot of ventilation. But anyway, we have the types of food that can actually guarantee us a win if that sport was implemented at the Olympics. I'm telling you, because all you just have to do is have, any type of beans and, you know, have boiled eggs, throw it in there, and, also, you know, if you can throw in oshikandela, umaere, just, you know, mix it up a little, and throw in a fukwa, you can't go wrong. Oh, look, you are coming home with a trophy. You are coming home with a trophy if you put that combo together. And then, now, when it comes to this whole Mr. Ugly Zim competition, imagine the types of competition we can get out of that. You know, we can have a modeling agency for just short people. Boy, am I winning in that contest. Or at least I think I am gonna win. It's all fun and games until someone who is, have grown up to basically my waist shows up and like, oh man. And I've also come to learn that, in modeling, models are arranged by height. The person that you see being called contestant number one, that's modeling lingo for you're the shortest among us. The last contestant, that's modeling lingo for she's the tallest among us. I like that, you know, I like how every discipline has its own language. And now we are going with winter outfit. When they are modeling, that's actually when I fall asleep. I don't have time for winter outfit. When they say swimwear, I'm just like, hallelujah. This is why I bought a VIP ticket for. Let's go. Actually, one of the reasons why I like, you know, one of the reasons why I like modeling is this place where you can pay a behind load of money for a VIP ticket. Last time I attended, you know, the MTC fashion show, it wasn't me. It was a, you know, homie of mine that was like, you know what, let's go and check it out. So when, and by the way, it was hosted that side of Marua Mall. They say there's a parking structure on top that has one of the most beautiful sunset views in Windhoek. And those guys were just modeling. And that's when I learned that modeling, chances are very high that modeling is a type of competition that was started by my gender. We realized that, it's illegal to stay at a woman in her swimwear. Then we were like, what if we can turn it into a competition? Then no one is going to judge us for being, pervious and staring They were like, right, so all we just have to do is throw in competition and voila, problem solved. Now, right now, modeling, you can just show up there and then just say, nice. And by the way, when it comes to swimwear, couples, if you go with your hubby to a modeling contest, the best way to break that relationship is ask him, what color was her swimwear? He's not going to have any clue. Nope. Been there, done that. I can barely remember the colors that those guys were wearing in their, you know, their swimwear or summer wear or whatever the heck they call that. All I know is that, hallelujah. I'm telling you, modeling is a legalized perversion. We just decide to show up there and like, time to stare at naked women and men, turns out, of which I was like, okay, please walk past. The others that are looking at you, not me. I'm looking for the, absolute, now that one with the twins. So think outside the box, Namibians. We could come up with a lot of entertainment activities that doesn't involve punching the daylight out of each other. I mean, we can keep punching the daylight out of each other for those that are good at throwing punches. Not all of us are, actually. Some of us are just very good at making fun of people and things. And actually, a lot of people that have more money and bodyguards than us, which is, it's a bad idea. Bad idea. I'm still on modeling, though. Whoever came up with that as a form of entertainment, chances are very high his lineage can be traced back to the to the guy that discovered milk. These are the things that have just been pointed out in comedy circles, but we don't like having conversations around it. Like, first of all, much respect to the guy that discovered milk for two reasons. Reason number one. Just how many parts of that cow did he touch before settling with, do you call them breast? I don't know what the equivalent of a cow is. And reason number two, just how many animals did he try and then got kicked like 1,000 times before realizing that actually a cow is the only one that will tolerate, being touched in these places. But look, I know why we don't like, focusing much on that part of milk, because, chocolate would not be chocolate without milk. So, let's just admit it. And at this point, I wonder if Nestle decide to get some of its milk, from Mongolia to start making it chocolate. They didn't do that. I'm just saying, didn't they? No kidding. But anyway, that would be okay. Interesting, because I've reached a point where I'm not going to make fun of people's cultures anymore. Because it turns out when you are raised with a culture, it's normal to you and it's weird to others. Believe me, the look I had in my face when I came across the first video that was telling, of a guy that was explaining that the biggest source of meat in Mongolia is a horse. They make steak, Venus and Polony out of it. Like, okay, next time I visit Mongolia, I'm going with my own meat. I'm just gonna say, okay, now, you guys have goats, right? Aye. And sheep? Yeah, we eat those. That, no. Absolutely. No, you know what? You are just rude about other people's culture. You know what I'm gonna do? Oh, I'm gonna eat that horse. And the next thing we do, I will hop on a plane. I'm like, now, right, let's go to Kabango right now. This is a crocodile. On your mark, set, go. And you'll be like, what? Crocodile? Yes. Excelente. From here we are going to, we're swinging by Ohangwena, and on the northern regions, We'll try, we'll try kapana kodog. White people don't like that. And, minus those guys that are. Now, imagine my surprise when I found out they said group of people, white people, in Norway, that also eats dogs. Like, oh, okay. That is interesting. And as if that is surprising enough, it turns out, in places like Alaska, they use huskies as a form of transport. What? How the heck do you use a dog as a form of transport? But that's because I've never been to Alaska. If I was born and raised using huskies as a form of transport, I would be like, donkey? How do you use a donkey for transport? We use dogs. So now, one thing that you see here is that, with this whole globalization, we are going to be shocked at things that, oh dear. You can find the podcast on the, you can find the recording on the podcast. Actually, is it the podcast on the website? Yeah. Ooh. Or the app. So, the overall of all the ramble is that, wherever you're going to find yourself, be prepared for a lot of different, cultures, a lot of, what they call it culture shock. That you're going to discover a lot of things that is very different from, what you'd call weird. It's actually normal to some people. I also discovered that in the Philippines, there's a type of more like a traditional dish that they eat that's made out of, duck eggs. Now, what's interesting about this is that, they take the duck eggs and then they just they leave it until it's just more like somewhere in between, just a couple of days, more like, when it's nearing hatching, the hatching process, that's when they cook it. With that little duck inside, when they crack it open, you can just see how the little duck was forming. Apparently, it's delicious. Like, okay. Alright. Now, man, thanks to the internet, I'm learning a lot about these things. Because, if I find myself with a Filipino wife, I know what to prepare for. Commercial break. Actually is. Oh, yeah. Commercial. Just a break. Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. When we come back, we are looking at, some of the things we'll be looking at, loan sharks discussion back in parliament. For this, if you're busy borrowing money and you don't know what Namfisa does, that's on you. And you get taken advantage of. Again, that's on you. Okay, you have that. Now, blood reserves critically low. Namibia to roll out electronic IDs. More on that on the other side of the break. Think outside the box. Come up with business ideas that are both entertaining and some of them are just, flat out disgusting.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Mukungulele kwa tuko maikuto wa mina apiri kwa mavchaziva. Uvele kisema app ato wakasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferide, mise kunani zencha. Kuzo wakwa kushimba lifera zari vuka kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Muvone maikuto amancha a imba app, mwikutwe kulibusi yemba santo ye mwituna. Mwikole sifera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone, imba encha ni encha farizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilini kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyalizwi la mlimu. Zengwi zefu mani hamasifera sesifa app ya imba kize tatama. Elsin, ehangano, oshiherero, omaemuriro, Catholic, Smane Kakarunga, Africans, nizengwi zengata. Muluri zeze kachenu, haiva mtavera kulisifera sa kireke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mulumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufuma na imba kachenu, mkona kufuma na fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Welcome back. Now, let me just close through something that I almost forgot. While we are on the subject of, while we're on the subject of Mongolia, seven days ago, their prime minister was forced to resign. Guess what is the reason behind his resignation? Well, he was forced to resign after social media photos of his son's lavish lifestyle that sparked an anti-corruption investigation and weeks of mass protest. Huh? So let me get this straight. So in Mongolia, if you are a public figure in terms of, government high ups, and your son puts up pictures of them living a lavish lifestyle, you get investigated by the anti-corruption? In Africa, children of politicians, all they do is take pictures of their lavish lifestyle and no one investigates them. It turns out, not in Mongolia, you get investigated. Chop chop. You get investigated. And an investigation is not the only thing that happened here that led homeboy to resign, because after that investigation that led to mass protest, the whole case went to parliament. And he had to resign. Now, his resignation depended on the votes that he had to, that according to their law, that you have to acquire in parliament. For there are people that now in parliament that have to vote for you to stay in power, and there are those that have to vote for you. Basically, the whole parliament votes on whether or not you should stay in power or leave. And you have to attain a certain level of votes for you to remain in power. If you retain, votes lower than a specified level according to the Mongolian constitution, you're gone. Now, homeboy here. During a confidence vote, 44 out of 88 lawmakers who took part in the secret ballot voted for voted for him, while 38 others voted against him. He needed at least 64 of parliament's 126 members. Now, well, because he actually got only 44 votes, I was like, well, this is the law. You were supposed to, for you not to resign, you're supposed to get at least 64 votes. But since you got 44, well, this one is on the law, Mr. Prime Minister. Next time, tell your kids not to take flashy pictures of their lifestyle. Like, even when the anti-corruption investigated, like, what the heck did they find? And really, if this was to be done in Africa,
oh, a lot of leaders are resigning, like, really fast.
Okay, to be fair, a lot of them will just go full dictatorship mode. But the bottom line is, these guys, something else. According to Transparency International, Mongolia has seen worsening corruption since the gentleman that resigned has actually come into power. Last year, it was ranked 114th out of 180 countries in terms of government transparency. Oh, Transparency International. I like those guys. I mean, I like their work, those guys. In case you didn't know, apart from the horse meat and milk thing, Mongolia, if you're a politician and your kid starts taking flashy pictures of their nice, very flashy lifestyle, the investigation, the anti-corruption starts to investigate you. Unlike other anti-corruptions, I won't mention. One thing I know about anti-corruptions in Africa is that, like, other anti-corruption, not to mention the country, is that they only investigate you if you say they are not working. If you call them incompetent, they investigate you to show their competence. I did not mention any names. Someone in their office is going, I know what you did. I'm investigating you. Eh? Investigating me for corruption? Right. What type of corruption did I commit? I think... I've been eating a lot of biltong, like, lately. Like, this day, like, just the store across the street here, the security guy that works at that store, the other, it was about 2 days ago when I was buying them again. I was like, just how many of these do you eat per day? I'm like, oh my God, you noticed, I need to change a shop. But, like, they are a very genius business model. Now, that's actually just, biltong. It's actually just the white people thinking outside the box. Drying meat is the oldest form of preservation. We call it itoma. Now, drying meat is not something that's new to Africa. Capitalizing on drying meat. We did not figure that out until a bunch of white people showed up and was like, actually, you can turn that into a business. And we're all like, nope, we have Ubuntu here. We don't sell each other. We give each other stuff. That's why this whole capitalism is really not working for Africa, because, this whole for-profit type of economic system is not ours. We are into neighborliness. You're my neighbor. Well, I'm going to give you this, and I'm not going to ask you to pay. Now, our way of actually paying back someone's good deed is not one that is directly. At least traditionally, it's not one that was directly that, you give me this stuff and then I will give you money. No. Okay, now I'm helping you now for two reasons. One, well, because you're a neighbor, I'm going to help you. Two, so that next time I am in need, you can also come through for me. That was Africa until capitalism showed up. Then I now have to deal with a bunch of corrupt politicians and blah, blah, blah. And now we have to deal with loan sharks. Speaking of, capitalism. Loan sharks back in Pali spotlight. The issue of loan sharks is back on the agenda. Let me just take you through a couple of paragraphs. I'll explain to you why I believe this problem goes back to last year's labor force survey. Like, it really goes back to that. Look, it was revealed that there are people that are going through the month on $1,000. And those are the majority of the employed category, according to the labor force survey. Coming out of the NSA. Now, the problem is, if you live in any urban area, not just Windhoek, if you live in any urban area, actually, especially Windhoek, if you live in any urban area, especially Windhoek, $1,000, that's a death sentence. And every time that I read that statistics, I can't help but ask myself one question. I'm never getting married, am I? That's one. Because I'm just looking at my food budget and I live alone. And it's way past $1,000. And now I'm thinking, okay, throw in wifey and two and three kids and then rent and all that. Like, okay, you know what? On second thought, I think we're good. At least for now. Because now, back to the loan sharks. It is pointed out that the discussion of loan sharks is making its way back to the, to dominate, you know, parliamentary discourse in this, our Republic of Namibia. Now, it is expected to dominate the debates when Parliament resumes this afternoon, and the motion spearheaded by Ina Hengari, an outspoken member of PDM, calls for an open and urgent national discussion on whether Namibia's current financial laws are truly protecting citizens from exploitative practices of loan sharks and unregulated lending institutions. Now, one thing I know is that, if you are getting money from guys like Helmut that have basically registered his business, and he registered his business and then using mostly his salary to give people loans, then you and I are one of those people that, according to our national laws, fall under the category of micro lending. Banks, those ones are, well, you can go with macro, I think. Not Macron, the French president. That's a whole different point of view. Albeit he was a video of him being slapped by his wife went viral. I still, you know, still think it was just being romantic. Like, oh, please stop. And then the door opened. I was like, oh, yeah, that's not gonna end well. It didn't end well. So, micro lenders, a lot of them. That's a problem. A large number of them are not registered. And therefore, a large number of them don't even follow the, because they follow, you know, NAMFISA regulates them. And there are certain things that they are supposed to do, and there are certain things they are not supposed to do that they are still doing. Take, for example, taking someone's personal documents, like an ID or banking card or banking detail, including a PIN, for example, so that you can withdraw the money as soon as the notification says, if NAMFISA finds out, you are cooked. Because that's one thing they made categorically clear. You cannot do. I don't care how much money that person owes you. Now, one thing a lot of us, especially here in Namibia, knows is that there are a lot of people that are running this type of business, especially in the, especially in the rural areas, that actually have, identity documents of their quote-unquote clients. Now, that's something that NAMFISA says is a no-go, and these people, now, that's where you can see that it's either these guys knows that, their clients are desperate, or their clients just doesn't know how this micro-lending business work. And a lot of you don't listen to Mind the Gate, and a lot of you don't listen to Home Run, so you have been in the dark. Now, if you're just finding about this now, if you're only finding out about this now, congratulations. That's why people tune in to Mind the Gap and Home Run. Actually, that's the reason why people tune in to Eagle FM. Look, as much as I want to talk about, you know, someone got stabbed with a panga in the behind after I was caught in someone's house, I mean, it's a very fascinating story. Unless you're the guy that, you know, found yourself on the wrong end of the panga. On the, your wrong end. Actually, when it comes to panga, you don't have any right end. Unless you're the one holding the panga, it's not a good idea. I mean, running is the only thing I can advise. Now, one thing is, a lot of people that are running to the unregistered micro-lending businesses already owe those registered micro-lending businesses Okay, let's go with the language that the basic language. A lot of people that are running to the unregistered cash loans owe registered cash loans a lot of money. So they know that if they go back, they're not going to be given any money anymore. So they just resort to the unregistered one. And as a result, they're being taken advantage of. Now, at this point, it's very difficult to point a finger as to who is to blame. Do you blame the person that's running around borrowing money? Maybe, it's, you know, some of these things are just emanating from genuine desperation. And, black tax, black tax. You just have to be, it's kind of difficult to keep up. And you have people that are just, over chilling. Now, if that's what you're doing, that's on you. And then you have those ones that are genuinely, genuinely out of options. That's actually factors in the black tax discussion. So they don't have a lot of options, but to just go out there and you will deal with sharks. Now, when the debate now comes back in parliament, I'm looking forward to what they are, they're calling them, backyard loan sharks. When this debate comes back in parliament, I'll be interested to find out just how, from which angle are they going to take this from? Because it's not a very easy one, because it all boils down to it's all going to be traced back as a, like the main source of the problem will be, is going to be either, is going to feed into unemployment or cost of living, which is just, same WhatsApp group. Numero uno. Numero due. Global copper supply. Not interested for now. Blood reserves critically low. It turns out we have to go and donate blood. Now, one thing I don't understand is, look, something that I learned last year. I thought, I've heard of spam donation. There is an office just right here. I think that's, it's either in Klein Wintuko Eros. I mean, I don't know where the boundary between these two places is. Wait, is that place somewhere in Klein Wintuko? It's just somewhere here. It's either in Klein Wintuko, Eros. People do donate spam, people do donate organs. One thing I did not know, I swear, until last year was that people are being asked to donate breast milk. And now at this point I'm asking myself, breast milk, why? Well, it turns out nothing. It doesn't matter how expensive your baby milk formula is. Nothing beats breast milk when it comes to health. For one, it's not coming from a factory, loaded with chemicals like preservatives to make them last longer on a shelf. It doesn't have any of that. And then I learned one thing amazing about breast milk. It turns out, when a mother is breastfeeding, her breasts and the saliva of the baby are in constant communication. The breast is collecting a sample. Yeah, the breast always collect a sample of the baby's saliva. I don't know where it's taken. And then it's analyzed to try to find out what nutrition is needed in the baby. Now, that means every breastfeeding cycle, that milk has a different chemical composition. Fascinating. So the milk will analyze the baby's saliva. Actually, we need to produce, we need more protein. Actually, now the next breastfeeding cycle is going to be loaded with a lot of protein. And I'll be like, okay, no, we have enough protein. Actually, let's bring in a little bit of magnesium here. Yo, I was like, women, look, I totally understand why you guys live longer. One. Two. I also totally understand why God trusted you with the responsibility of raising children. Let's go with the story of creation. You can imagine God created a man and then looked at him as like, alone, this guy, he's not gonna last.
Ain't no way he's gonna last. The only solution here, we need a woman. Like pronto, we need a woman now. And then a woman came up and then screwed up everything. And Eve, that's not on me. According to the good book, you guys screwed up everything. One thing that you see there is that even after that screw up, women are like, okay, fine, we're just gonna take care of you. I have a cousin. She's married now. One thing that she mocks the husband about was, when she met him, he only had one cup. One plate, two pots, one for pap and obviously one for relish, and two, maybe three spoons. And the question that she keeps asking to this day is, how do you guys live like that? Or like, who needs 30 plates? What for? I really need to go shopping. Just realizing I only have two cups. Actually, one at home, one at the office. Because 40 plates? I mean, honey, it's just the two of us in the house. Why do we need 40 plates? It's for visitors. Wait, you are asking them to come? First of all, having less plates is another way of telling them to get out. I mean, well, actually, that would be my way of telling them, when are you gonna leave? So that it can just be the two of us here. That's a very nice life to live, when it's just you and the sweetheart, you know, no disturbances, until you realize there's a reason why we need a community. When you faint, and now she has to lift your behind to the road. Now you understand why people, you know, say good morning to their neighbors every time they wake up. Oh. So the blood levels are, you know, the blood storage is critically low. I'm not going to go through that because, well, these guys did not give, if I have to read these things, I will have to send these guys an invoice. Namibia to roll out electronic ID. So we are getting more and more electronic. Namibia will begin receiving electronic identity cards, aka EIDs, from July 2026. Huh? According to the Ministry of Home Affairs, Immigration, Safety and Security, the new ID system aims to improve identity verification and simply access to both public and private services. If you can afford them. Especially the private ones. Prices through the roof. The EIDs is a smart card similar to a bank card embedded with a chip that stores personal data such as a photo, fingerprint, and other biometric biometric information, making it highly secure and difficult to forge. Let me give you a little bit of a confession. When it comes to forging things, teenagers at school are excellent at it. I was a teenager at school. Believe me. I have two friends. One of them is a police officer. Another one is a teacher. Yeah. Hey. I'm telling you, thank God there was no internet back then. So you can't find a bunch of stuff that we did on Facebook. Because if there was, boy oh boy, and the police came across it, even they will go like, okay, first of all, before we arrest this guy, how the heck do you pull that off? Kids are very creative. Just don't, So, are you all ready for electronic IDs? Look, I'm really hoping this thing is not similar to my, you know, it's not similar to a voting card. And by the way, now these things will be rolled out next year, July. So before we get there,
From the experience we've had with voters cards, they are not driver's license substitute. Thank you very much. You're welcome. Very, 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 very welcome. And then that brings us to global copper market suffer from overcapacity. The global copper market is increasingly facing more, challenges that are resulting in increased smelting capacity in major copper producing regions, which ultimately translates into substantial overcapacity. This phenomenon exacerbated by the negative impact of the, of course, is going to be United States tariff. Oh dear Lord. So we really have to come up with different ways of making money, of driving an economy, because the extractive industry, and it was actually that's not a secret even before it was revealed, that a lot of foreign direct investment taking place on the African continent is in the extractive industry, aka mining. So in other words, any mineral that will be produced synthetically in the very same way that lead-made diamonds are threatening the ground-mined diamond, we are cooked. So we're going to have to think outside the box. Now, for those of you that are listening, that were listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight yesterday, one thing that we talked about was, how blue and white collar jobs are going to be, are being threatened by the rise of artificial intelligence. Blue collar jobs are technical ones like plumbing and electrician, and you throw in everything that basically requires more hands-on technicians. Those are your blue collar. Now, those ones that you get PhDs and LLMs, and now those are the white collar jobs. It is that both these jobs are being threatened by artificial intelligence. And that is because, well, we decided to be, human beings, we are naturally lazy. So we try every now and then to figure out ways to do things, more and more easier and faster. And because of that, we have basically developed a lot of tools to, in farming and, transport and killing each other, aka war. We have advanced a lot of technology because of, because of our laziness. Except the problem now is our laziness is leading us into, we are innovating ourselves by actually shooting ourselves in the foot. Of course, that's a, that's not literally, that's more proverbially, but both politicians are like, let's just put AI in everything. The question I keep asking is, if you put AI in everything, then no one is going to have a job. If no one has a job, no one can buy stuff. If no one can buy stuff, nothing is going to get sold. The point of manufacturing something is if it's selling. A lot of businesses have run out of operation because no one bought their products. Case in point, Peugeot, Walvis Bay. So the damn thing about both the guys that are advancing this technology and the governments, basically the world over, not just the Africa, is that they are failing to come to the realization that every business that is in operation today is in operation because it has consumers. Now, those consumers can afford the products. The reason why we don't have some of the high-end supercars or hypercars here, like you have the Bugattis, like Pagani, Koenigsegg, Ferrari, and all those things, is because we don't have, they don't have a big consumer market here. How many of us can afford a Ferrari? Now you see the point. Now the thing is, for some reason, in a lot of tech billionaires' minds, and a lot of politicians' minds, by replacing, take for example, every nurse and every teacher with a technology, for some reason we are picturing a very wonderful future where everyone is replaced by a piece of technology. Okay, first of all, forget the social, forget the unemployment. Worry about the social chaos. People will want to eat. If they can't eat. Okay, people will want to eat. If they can't find food to eat by, you know, if they can't, because they can't afford it, they're gonna steal. I know. What are you gonna say? Yeah, no, yeah, now you're just promoting people to steal. Actually, one old man full of wisdom pointed out something fascinating to me that, any law that's made by men that is contrary to the circumstances of reality will be violated. Any law. Any law that's, take for example, right now, if you say, well, it's against the law for anyone to breathe. Good luck enforcing that law. Because you idiot, the police officer will need to breathe to enforce that law. So, any law made by men that is, contrary to the circumstances of reality, fasten a seatbelt because it's going to be violated. Now, we have 6 minutes before I say goodbye, and just before I wrap it up or wrap everything up, make I take a break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Namibians are not thinking outside the box when it comes to coming up with innovative ways to make money. Ancient Japan hosted world fighting competitions. Still can't believe that happened. And today they have, dates, and I can't stress this enough. This, even though they have their own red light districts, what they do, and of course they have their red light districts, and you have some that are just like, you know what, this service is not about me sleeping with you. This just you paying me, and then you can go out there and, you know, just, have that, you know, couple experience. I really need to travel to Japan. And they have both men and women type of there are guys you can pay to go out on a date with you. There are women you can pay to go out on a date with you. Now, of course, you are looking for any type of specifications. As if this business was to be started in Namibia, you are looking for if you are looking for a tall, dark, and handsome. Helmut is not your candidate. Definitely, you are not my client. If you are looking for someone that will say a bunch of nonsense and make you laugh, you can never go wrong. You can never go wrong. You are never going wrong on that one. Now, if you are looking for someone with a car, thank you very much. See you in the next life. If you are looking for someone with an iPhone with 2 SIM cards, show off. If you are looking for someone with a Mercedes-Benz with 2 engines, get out of my way. If you are looking for someone with a Golf 2, thank you very much. I'll be there shortly. Boy, am I that broke? Jeez. Well, at least, if there's a, by any chance, anyone of you listening is going like, man, he sounds very romantic. I bet he's rich. Yeah, about that. broke like heck. I bet he's tall. Also, no. He's really tall, dark, and muscular, handsome. No. He's really funny, you see. Now we're talking. Keep going. What pains me is every time I come across a video of a hot girl saying, I just want a guy that can make me laugh. I'm like, where do I find these people? Every now and then I keep running into one, someone who is tall, dark, and handsome. That, you know, on the tall, dark, and handsome spectrum, the only thing I have going for me is dark. Then the rest is out through the window. And now, so IDs. Okay, we have electronic. Just to wrap it up, we have electronic IDs coming up next year, 2026. We have blood reserves running low. So if you are one of those people with Vrupa driving like you own the road, just remember that. If you lose a lot of blood, your behind is going to die. Next. Now, well, don't say that. Eh? I didn't overturn your car. You did it yourself, you idiot. Now, loan sharks, by the way, this one is going to be it's actually something that I'm going to be looking forward to. This whole loan shark discussion, which will be, this afternoon in Parliament. So this is going to be awesome, because it will be very difficult to have this discussion without that discussion, more like going straight to unemployment. But let's go to commercial break.
Unlock your future with Goldstone Software Engineering Institute. 2025 intake for June, July is open for certificate and diploma in information technology, software engineering, human resources management, business administration, and various short courses such as AutoCAD, computer literacy skills, A+, and PC technician, etc. Goldstone Software Engineering Institute's courses are fully accredited by NQA, and courses are very affordable. Goldstone Software Engineering, equipped with modern facilities, and courses are offered by qualified professionals. Funding is available from NSFAF and local banks. For entry requirements and to apply, go to our website www.goldstone.com.na or email admission@goldstone.com.na. For more information, call Anaria at 081-6576-365 or Aaron at 081-6354-851 or 061-234186.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back electronic IDs to blood banks running out of blood to culture shocks. We covered it all. Hey, wifey.
Morning.
How are you?
How are you?
Oh, good. Would you be would you be open to trying horse milk? Would you be open to trying horse milk? No, milk from a horse.
Oh, horse milk.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And horse breathers.
Maybe.
I like how open-minded you are.
Yeah, maybe I would. Uh-huh. I would try. Because December, uh-huh, when I was home, I got the privilege to eat zebra meat.
You have never eaten zebra?
No.
And, really?
And I didn't know it was zebra meat.
I grew up with hunters. I mean, I've eaten a lot.
Is it?
Yeah.
So the meat was too, it was nice. It was tasty. It was very nice. And I only found out later that it was zebra that I was eating. So I was like, oh, wow. So I wonder how a donkey tastes. So when you are mentioning a horse now,
mm-hmm,
I'm like, I've eaten a zebra and they are like family, they're like siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So I can only imagine how it tastes, like the wash of horse meat or the milk. So why not? Definitely open to it.
Yeah, I've come to learn that if you find yourself in a place called Mongolia, like that's, they you know, cattle, you know, just the same way that we, you know, we use cattle here for the most part in terms of, you know, in terms of meat and milk.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's horse for, I think, most of them.
I think, we as Africans, I don't know if it's most African countries, we are, what is the word? It's funny how when you sit in front of the mic and then everything words just disappear. Like, it's amazing. It was happening to me on Sunday, on my Sunday show. And then my guest also, when she came in, she also experienced the same thing. She was like, okay, this is what you were mentioning. It's now happening to me. I think in Africa, mostly in Africa, we are raised with limitations of what we need to eat and what not to eat, you know. So because we know that a horse is just bred to, you know, for riding, yeah, or transportation, so you can't eat it. You understand?
Yeah.
This is even why it was a culture shock to some of us finding out that donkey meat is a delicacy for Damaras.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing I have come to believe is that the only culture, whether it's when it comes to, whether it's you know, food wise, dance wise, food wise, dance wise, or more like any type of cultural practice, really.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just throwing religion in that bucket. The only one that makes sense is the one that you were exposed to from an early age.
Yes.
To you, it all makes sense. And everything outside of that, you have got to be really open-minded for you to consider something that you have, you know, that's something that you are not familiar with in your culture.
Yeah.
So, a lot of things. So this is actually, for me, if you ask me, the biggest problem behind the giant, you know, the giant sign of, dog is, it's a friend, not meat. Mm. That, if you ask me, is a clash of different cultures.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very now, much.
Yeah, and it's the, every time I, you know, every time I run into someone that, you know, I run into someone that says, hypocrisy. I know. Every time I run into someone that, you know, that says, okay, now this is the only true religion. I'm like, no, just picture yourself being raised. Take, for example, Christianity is the only true religion. I'm like, look, if you are born and raised in China, you would be a Buddhist. Mm-hmm. You'd be saying the exact same thing about Buddhism.
Exactly. It's like you just grow up to a certain mindset.
There is no true religion. There is only true faith.
Well, now, this is the part where I'm tempted to ask, what's the difference? But then we are 6 minutes into Zuzuma Zalich.
So, just do homework. Religion is like me coming to work the time I want, and living the time I want, and expect the boss to be happy with my actions. That's how religion is.
And faith?
So, faith, you will...
Is it like now you're believing that work starts at 8, and work finishes at 5?
You come at 10, and you leave at 12.
That is religion.
And you expect the boss to be happy with your action.
No, he's asking about faith now. Give an analogy for faith. And I'm trying to give an analogy for faith in terms of, okay, maybe faith could be that you know work starts at 8 and you get at the office before 8. And you know work finishes at 5, you leave after 5. Is that now faith?
Yeah, faith is pleasing your master.
You see, look, I know we have taken a different direction, but you guys are... What type of Zambezians are you guys? Because I expected you guys to have a Zambezi accent in, actually, if they see,
you know, this thing.
Yeah, cities accent.
I don't know. See, I've never spoken that accent.
I want to.
Like I said, I watched a lot of television growing up. I was so, like, very, what is the word? I was very curious. This one never lived in Zambezi, so.
I've been a missionary, so uh-huh. I lived alongside native English speakers, like the British and the Americans.
So that's why you don't have, you know, that's why you can pronounce 3,000.
Yeah,
so
the Z is not there.
3,000.
I've been a missionary, and I worked in a so.
Yeah. Just say you haven't lived in Zambezi.
Uh-huh, thank you.
No,
look, maybe it's just people, trying to put it diplomatic.
There are people that have lived in Zambezi that have better English than ours. So we shouldn't stereotype here. It's just a matter of what you're exposed to.
I do not agree on that.
No, look. There are people in
all Zambezi. Right, I do not agree on that.
Okay, you guys can... okay, now, well, look, guys, I gave you a topic. On your mark, set, ready, go. All right, 8 minutes into the hour of 11. Mind the gap ends here. Sizuma Saricho begins. You'll have a good one.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.